Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. It has been a real pleasure this week to get together with so many friends and Ravens alums over 23 seasons now, and nobody loved me or hated me as much as this guy. I guess he loves me now because he's taking time out of his day. He is the pride of Brearley in Kenilworth, New Jersey, once a Bear, then a Panther, then a Colt, but his life became fulfilled as a Purple Bird. We welcome the Goose, Tony Saragoose. Back on the Baltimore radio where you are loved, Goose. And, I guess this is going to be one major love-in for Ray on Saturday night, and a night that I think, quite frankly, at some point during your career, you realized there might be a night in Canton, Ohio for this kid, right?
First of all, who says I like you?
Well, all right, you tolerate me. Tolerate.
That's better.
That's better.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you? Everything good with your life?
Doing good. Doing good. Everything's great. Down the beach house right now, just cleaning up the backyard after a little party last night. But can't complain too
another
much.
Another summer looking with the where's the beach for you? What does the beach mean in Jersey for you? Where's that place?
Yeah, Lavalette, Ortley Beach. You know where the roller coaster was during Sandy?
Okay.
Right there.
Wow.
Right there. All the houses around me got hit pretty hard.
Those summer nights, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's back, though. It's back. So I'm just down here relaxing with the kids, a couple of them getting ready to go to college.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're still 3 and 5, right? One of them's still in diapers, right?
Yeah, 3 and 5. 3 and 5 million, that's what they're they cost. Yeah, well, expensive kids.
Look, man, this is a coronation for Ray. And look, you've been asked your whole career about him, and you played with a lot of great players, right? But Ray's really kind of different, right, than anyone else. And I've noticed that from, look, I've gone to 25 Super Bowls, and every year they're voting on Hall of Famers that week. And the Joe DeLamillers and the guys that might get in, the guys that waited to get in, all kind of come around. There's none of that with Ray. There's never been any of that. You know, if there's ever anybody that's been an unquestioned Hall of Famer, this is the guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Come on. I mean, just to sustain the years in the league at probably the toughest position in football, being a, you know, middle linebacker controlling the whole defense, you know, having to cover still, I mean, at 30-something years old, still covering players. I mean, it was amazing watching him out there. Obviously, you saw how he missed a few steps, but, you know, the biggest thing that I remember is when, you know, Ray was a rookie. He didn't make the Pro Bowl. Not a lot of people know that or remember that. And I remember coming in, Ted Marchbrodick, you know, I was going to go to the Raiders, and he brought me in, and he said, listen, I need your help. And I said, what's going on? He goes, I got this young kid. He goes, Goose, this guy could be great, really great. He goes, but he needs some help up front, and, you know, we got to help protect him. And I watched some film on Ray, and I said, man, this kid can cover the field. He's got great eyes, great instinct, awesome angles. And then I walked out of his office, and I'm walking down the hall, and I told him that we'd get something done. And I guess one of the guys went and said, listen, man, we're signing Goose. And he was like, and I was around the corner, because you remember how our locker room used to be. There was
sure.
That hallway. And then you would turn the corner there, and that's where my locker was. And I remember him saying, damn, I'm going. They just signed Saragusa. I'm going to the Pro Bowl, man. It's going to be awesome. Like, he was all fired up, you know, and I turned around the corner, and I said, calm down there, Rook. Well, he wasn't a rookie then. I just, calm down. We got a lot of work to do still, you know, because we had a lot of, you know, they're bringing a lot of players. They brought me and McCreary in. You know, they just signed.
Rod?
Yeah, Rod. You know, no, Rod didn't come for a couple more years.
Well, 97 was you, McCreary, Burnett. Well, I can go back. I have Google, so I you know, my memory doesn't serve me so well, but I do
Burnett
have Google.
Burnett was there still. Burnett was there, and then we brought in a couple corners too.
Let's see, that team had Eugene Daniel, one of your buddies from the Colts, came over,
right.
Kim Herring, Deron Jenkins, Antonio Langham, Stevon Moore, and, well, Bulware came, Bulware Brown, Tyus McLeod, and Jamie Sharper. That was the
Sharper,
big difference maker. We drafted in
draft,
97.
Right?
The draft was really the big thing in 97.
Yeah. So we, like, revamped the whole defense. I remember we couldn't stop anybody my first year. It was like, holy mackerel. You know, Benny Testaverde was our quarterback. He was putting up huge numbers, and we just couldn't stop anybody. And then we started dialing it in. We needed a little time together. And, you know, the young guys, you know, Peter and Jamie, they sort of, you know, meshed right in there with Ray, and then we just took over the league, you know.
Well, Goose, from your perspective in coming in, and you do have that vivid memory of, like, watching a little bit of film and saying, hey, this 52 kid can run around. We played a game against you guys on a Sunday night the first year when you were still a Colt. Harbaugh was there, you know, as well, and Ted had just left. Was there at any point did you – I knew you were looking at offensive players, right? I mean, like, so that was more
Well, I had to go against – people don't remember this. Jonathan Ogden was a guard.
Right.
He was a left guard. That's who I had to play against. That guy, he had, I couldn't – I take one step, his hands were on me. He was 4 feet from me still. His arms were so damn long. I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this guy? But then I remember watching – being up watching Ray covering the field because I remember he got drafted and out of Miami and just, you know, followed him a little bit. I'm like, man, this kid could play. And then it was, you know, then when I really got to break down some film because, you know, when you're a defensive player, you always watch the offense. You never watch the defensive guys. So – when Ted brought me in and I got to watch it, I was really like, holy shit, this kid is unbelievable.
You know, for you, with picking Baltimore and Ted and where you were, I mean, you obviously think you can win a championship or you wouldn't come, but that was such a part of it. I mean, Ray was the reason Shannon Sharpe came. Ray was definitely the reason Rod Woodson came, right? And Marvin, yeah. You know, one of the things about Marvin staying when Brian came in and Ted left was a lot about Ray, because Marvin almost left at that point to Philadelphia, Carolina. There were other Kansas City, other places were calling him. It really is amazing 20 years later to go back and tell these stories about how all these pieces came together to make this magic. And I've talked to a lot of cats who were gone after you left who made a lot of money rolling around with Ray Lewis, right? I mean, all those linebackers, lots of linemen, the DBs, guys left, and that shine of playing with Ray got them paid in other places.
Yeah, it was well, the thing was, his teams are so dialed in on Ray that, you know, you got you know, offense coordinators just going game plan and just, how do you stop Ray? How do you slow him down? Just like defensive guys, you know, we'll look at the most productive guy on offense and say, all right, listen, these are the major pieces that we got to take out of this offense. We got to slow them down. But then sometimes when you do that and you concentrate on that too much, now the other guys can really go and show what they got because they're one on one, or we're not really paying attention to those guys that are just you know, average players. They become great players because, you know, they got great players around them, you know.
I think the thing I'll think about on Saturday, and look, everybody's looking forward to the speech. I mean, we got a guy giving a speech who's known for giving speeches, right? So I think there's that part of it, but then there's going to be what's contained in that. And Goose, I might get misty for me. I mean, I remember the Mean Machine. I remember them coming off the bus. I remember the first time I ever talked to Ray Lewis at Memorial Stadium after they beat the Raiders. I had never met him, and I went over, and he said, hey, buddy, give me those Clippers over there. And I asked him to come out to the barn. He was my first ever barn guest the day after we beat the Raiders in the first game ever. And now he's going into the Hall of Fame. And everything that happened from that moment, I mean, Atlanta, which you were around for that, Ted to Brian, winning the Super Bowl, not getting invited to Disney World, you know, obviously the Baltimore Sun's already written the piece this week, and I'm sure, you know, all the Atlanta stories come back this week. And then there's the teammates and the fact that no one ever questioned he's going into the Hall of Fame. And then there's Ozzie's role in all of this as well, in what the franchise is and what that statue represents and what the Ravens represent. Goose, I was standing down at the Felt Forum in New York that day that they drafted Ogden. It's the only time I ever went to the draft back in the day. And when that ticket came up and the Ravens were on the clock universally, and if you go back and you watch ESPN at that time and Mel Kiper or whatever, they were talking about Leland McElroy, who was a running back out of Texas A&M. You know, we only had Ernest Biner around then. We wound up drafting Jay Graham in that sort of role later on, but everyone thought they were taking Leland McElroy, a running back out of Texas A&M. And then Ray Lewis pops up, and the first thing everybody says, undersized, you know, I mean, that's the first thing, you undersized. And Ozzie took that leap of faith in the same way of not taking Lawrence Phillips and taking J.O., and that's what recruited you, dude, right? I mean, if they had taken Lawrence 100%. Phillips or Leland McElroy and there was no Ray Lewis, you might have gone to the 49ers or the Jets or some other place, right?
Yeah, listen, 100%. I mean, it's you know, when you're a player and you're a free agent, you're looking around. You're obviously, you know, when you're 6 or 7, 8 years in the league, you're looking to a place where you can go and win. And it was just, you know, I think Ozzie, the greatest thing about Ozzie is Ozzie always went if you had two players and they were all, you know, the same number, same grade, whatever, he would always go with the better person. You know, he went and brought people in, which made the team. You know, the locker room is where you have to build a team from, and he always, you know, based everything on that, and that's why he's, you know, been so successful. You know, you put it together, you make a mess. You don't bring in a guy who's going to go. And when I first got there to Baltimore, I mean, our locker room was not good, really, really not good. And Ted knew that, and he had to get rid of some people. And you know, then it started to come together when guys started playing together. Listen, we weren't the best of friends off the field, and you know, it's not like that. But when we came to that locker room, boy, we were like brotherhood, and that's what Ozzie always based most of his picks on. And that's why he brought in guys like J.O. and Ray, and because he knew that they were going to fit in the big scheme of things and play for each other. Listen, you know, if you look at our team, the best defense ever to play the game of football, right? There was not any, you know, other than Ray, you know, it wasn't like there was guys that were like in their peak and their greatness. It was just a bunch of guys who knew how to make the guys around them better. You know, if McCreary got stopped on the line of scrimmage, Rob Burnett would come up with the sack. If I took two, Sam Adams would get the penetration. If we, you know, if we didn't get it done up front, the linebackers came into play. It was like everybody knew where they fit. And everybody knew how to go and cover the guy next to him, and that was the brotherhood that brought us to 35. I mean, that's why we got rings on our fingers, plain and simple.
Boy, it is special sitting back and talking about it. And I don't know how often you break your ring out and spin it around on your middle finger and think about things. And, you know, certainly you were running around on sidelines for 15 years, you know, every week at games and, you know, and still being fresh with the people in the game and being around the game and all that. But everybody seeks that out. You wonder what's the aftermath of that and what it means to your life two decades later. And, you know, most of the days you're like everybody else. You're paying your bills. You're on your boat. You're at your beach house. You're figuring out the next gig. You're figuring out the next problem that's coming along in life or whatever. But for that period of time and on a Saturday night for everybody to get together in Canton, that's what makes this special, right? We don't have many more of those left after 17 years, right? I mean, there'll be a 20-year and a 25-year, and we got together and had a steak over at Roost Chris 6 months ago and honored everyone. But there's not a lot of that left, and we're losing people along the way and all of that. This might be the most special night left for that group and this class of people, right?
You know what? I think so. I mean, you know what's great about it is, and it's hard to tell, you know, people who are out there, but if you're a player, you understand. You know, I don't have to see Ray for 2 years, and all of a sudden he'll, you know, we happen to do some business together with the Titan Aviation and Jet Charter right now. But, you know, all of a sudden I'll just see him, and we just see each other, and it's like, yeah. These are guys I went to war with. Like I went, you know, these are guys. This is a guy who put everything on the line. We put everything on the line for each other. So, you know, those special moments are really what's most important to players. You know, we've all played with a lot of players and a lot of different teams and everything like that. But when you win the Super Bowl, those are the teams and the guys that you really say, hey, man, this guy really put on the line. This is what we accomplished, and you know. You know, it's crazy. Like, you know, just take Rob Burnett. I mean, he called me yesterday. Hey, man, what's going on? I just wanted to talk, see how you're doing. You know, we just talked over nothing. Like, you have relationships with your teammates and your coaches that, you know, last for a lifetime because they know, you know, everybody went through it together. You know, and that was a really special team. I mean, nobody had more fun, and you could attest for this, Ned. I mean, nobody had more fun than that team.
Goose, I'm going back and looking at the pictures. It's, you know, every one of the pictures, I'm sitting on your lap at the barn. You're holding the knife to my throat at the barn. We had fun together, Goose, you and me.
Ah, dude, it was crazy. It was good. Listen, I remember the Raiders game. You know, these are some of the stories I'm sitting, you know, I remember.
So does Rich Gannon, by the way. He tells me every time I see him.
Yeah, Brian Billick comes in and he goes, listen, you know, he's talking to the defensive line because we pretty much ran things in the locker room. We pretty much set the tone. And he goes, listen, you know, the black hole's here. We don't want to rile them people up and everything like that. We want to take them out of the game. This is what we're going to do. This is the AFC Championship game. We're like, okay, Brian, no problem. And he left and stuff like that. And as soon as we came out for warm-ups, we ran right over to the black hole. We started going, give him the finger, kick your ass. They were so fired up. Brian's going, what the hell are you guys doing? We're setting the tone. That's what we're doing. We're going to set the tone. Ray was like, holy shit, man, what are you guys up to? I go, listen, we're going to go, we're going to kick their ass, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. And that's exactly what we did. I mean, we just, you know, we didn't go and hide behind anywhere or do the politically correct thing. We just went out there, we said we're going to kick your ass, and we kicked your ass. That's just the way it was.
And, I was standing 20 feet behind you when you stole Billick's sunglasses on the sideline that day. I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that? You know, one of the funny things is I remember running out, and it was probably against, we were making our run. It was against Denver. And we're in a tunnel, and I'm out there, and Ray's getting ready, and he's going to do his dance. And I woke up and I said, hey, listen, man, you better tone that damn dance down. Do you get hurt before any of these games here, we'll make our run. I'm going to kick your ass myself. Because, man, I'd be watching him doing that dance, and his knees, I was like, God damn, his knees are going to buckle one time. I was a nervous wreck. I'm like, just go out there, man, just wave to everybody, just jog out. Don't get hurt. But, man, I know that didn't happen.
Tony Siragusa is our guest. You can find him, of course, out on Twitter and anywhere. The Goose is sold. He's down at the Jersey Shore right now. He's at Tony Siragusa in the Man Caves, as well as at Yahoo Sports and anywhere. He's also had a podcast out there. You can check it out. All of our WNST programming brought to you by our friends out of Michi's of Little Italy, the Pane Rotunda, the meatballs, and the best marinara on earth. Goose might argue that, but when he comes back, I'll take him down to High Street for a delicious Italian meal. Also, our friends at King Discount Liquors, give the King a ring. My wife went out there and got some red ale stuff. I don't know what the hell she's got. I'm a stout drinker these days, but King Discount Liquors, Pulaski Highway, give the King a ring. Goose, for you with this this Canton thing and where we are, and obviously Ed Reed's going to be coming down the line, and you'll see a Shannon Sharp or Rod Woodson and all that stuff. When you go to the Hall of Fame and understand what kind of football player you were, you made money, you had a brand, you won a championship and all that stuff, there's a whole different level, even I think for guys like you, to go and say, man, I played with that guy, that guy, that guy. Look at the people that were on that team. Look at the people that were associated with this. Ozzie's going to go back into the Hall of Fame again 5-6 years from now, whenever it's going to be, as an administrator. They're going to have another night for him there. We're not done with all of this on the Ravens side of things, but when you go there and see the greatness of those players in that collection of the Gold Jackets, look, man, I'm just a fan and a scrawny guy that couldn't even have been a kicker, right? You played the game, but there is an awe-inspiring part of all of that and the connection of pulling that whole thing together this weekend. And I just watched the baseball weekend, and that's lovely up in Cooperstown and all that, but this is a special thing, and I'm taking busloads of people out, and I know you've been out there for these things before and have had friends and, you know, people involved, but this is a special weekend. And I think even for football players to go out there, you're going to do a lot of smiling this weekend, right? You need some extra energy for this weekend.
Yeah, I got energy. I'm good. Yeah, it's going to be special. You know, the Hall of Fame, you know, I look at it a little different than I think a lot of other people do. I mean, I look at it, you know, the players, but, you know, that are in. But I even look, you know, more into the players that got these guys in and the players that are around them, and how, you know, Ray Lewis is going to represent, you know, and J.O. and, you know, Shannon. They're going to represent, you know, the Super Bowl team that we put together and the greatest defense ever to play the game. And that's awesome. But I love going and, you know, looking at the players that get in and just seeing the whole team that they played with, the special group that was, you know, around them. And I think, you know, when Ray gets up there and he says his speech this weekend, that's going to be special for all of us. And, you know, I know that he's going to be thinking about not just himself, because he's not that kind of guy. He's going to be thinking about all the guys that helped him get to where he is. And
well, that's
and
what every speech is, right? Every speech is thanking coaches, teammates, family, wives, parents, you know, all of that. That's what the speech is. I mean, he gets up and thanks everyone. And I'm sure, you know, for him, the fans are going to be such a huge part of this. Goose, what did you think of that dance just the fact that nobody else has ever done that since? No one else will ever do that again, right? Like, that's such a unique thing to modern sports. And I know it was hated in the other 31 places, and people hated Ray from Atlanta because we kicked their ass, because we took their lunch money, you know, whatever it was, they hated the Ravens. And part of putting on that sweater was you knew they were going to hate you.
That's true. And we really didn't give a shit. No, that's just the way it is. You know, the crazy thing about it is, if you really look back, the NFL really did a poor job of taking the fun out of football. I mean, you know, back in the early years, you know, in the 90s, I mean, it was just towards the end. I mean, you know, your socks got to be up. You got to have your shirt tucked in. You know, they tried to make us these preppy, robot looking guys. And there wasn't a lot of time on the field that you could go and express yourself and be who you were other than before the game or after the game. So Ray found a unique spot, you know, during the announcements, that he went and he wanted to be who he is, you know, from Miami, you know, the U, and express himself, and that's how he got himself ready. And if he did that during the game, you know, they'd be raining flags, and that's part of the greatness of having that little bit of time and being remembered for that.
But you were around at the very beginning of that. Before that thing started, it began in 96 when you weren't here with the Quad City DJs on the train. You know, he would sort of raise the roof, and that began this thing. And I don't even know the first time he did that dance or if Ted said, go out and, you know, do it in 97. I don't even know the first day that happened. But then it just happened, and then it became part of the show. And I can tell you, as a Ravens fan that sits in 513, we really miss that, man. I mean, we had that for a generation, and we're never. I mean, it's, you know, Suggs can come out and do whatever he wants, whatever mask and, you know, and the fire and all that. It's a poor. It should not be imitated in any way, right?
No,
and it never will be.
Listen, the thing is, you know, you have to go and be able to, and I think that's what really made Ray great. Is him being going and saying, listen, I'm going to do this dance. I'm going to look like a real asshole if I don't go out there and kick somebody's ass. You know, if I don't go out there and if we go out there and get our asses beat, and how am I going to do this dance next week?
If I miss Tiki Barber on the edge, he's going to be dancing on me. And hey, late in his career, you know, T.O. caught a touchdown in Philly once you were gone. Everybody was doing the dance to mock Ray on the field after they would score. You wonder, is that a tribute to Ray or is that an F you? You know, which, or is that a little bit of both?
A little bit of both, probably, I would think. You know, I think, everybody wants to go and knock the guy down that's on the pedestal, you know? You know, once you go and you make it, you know, everybody hates the guy that makes it in life. You know, there's so many jealous people out there that don't want to see people succeed, except the guys around you who are trying to help you. And I just think that, you know, it was a very classy, he did his thing, and when it was over, and then he went to the sideline, and then he put the mask on and turned into Ray Ray, and then, you know, he got the job done. You know, so many guys that go out there and think they've arrived already and ain't done a damn thing, and they look like idiots because they're down by 7 touchdowns, and then all of a sudden they score, and then they do a dance in the end zone. I mean, you look like the biggest idiot to me you could ever be by doing that. But you know, when you go and you're out there and you're performing day in and day out, now you look like a guy who deserves to go to the Hall of Fame.
I don't want this to sound trite, Goose, but I'm just going to add, was he the greatest player you ever played with? I mean, is there any other argument to be made for anybody or players that you would say to your kids or, hey, man, this guy, he was underrated, or this guy was a better player than maybe he was given consideration for. But from everybody I've talked to, there's Ray, and I know Urlacher's going in, but, I mean, I wouldn't trade Ray for Urlacher for 5 minutes over, you know. There's never a point where I looked at the two of them and said, nah, I'd rather have Urlacher this week or last week or next week. Never, never.
Well, let me put it this way, I don't want to take anything away from anybody else, is Ray was the most dominant linebacker and defensive player that I've ever played with. But there's guys, you know, how do you go and, you know, you play with, you know, a running back or, you know, like, Eric Dickerson or whatever, you know.
Or comparing to Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, at his position, I mean, do I think that there was ever anybody any better that I played with? No. I thought that Ray totally dominated his position. And that's, you know, you can't go and say, is he the best player you ever played against? Well, did he do his job? 100%. Could he go and do other jobs? No. I think each individual position is unique. So, you know, you can't go and, you know, to say, oh yeah, this run, he was better than this running back, or, you know, it's like my uncle was better than, you know, tougher than your uncle. I mean, it's you know, it's just you really can't do that. But was he the most dominant linebacker in the game when I played from 90 to 2002? Yes, 100%. Was there any doubt, you know, when we won the Super Bowl in 2000 that he was going to the Hall? No doubt whatsoever. The first ballot, you know. So, I mean, you know, you don't get a chance or an opportunity to play with many players that you could say that about.
Well, and you said that in 01, and yet 12, 13 years later, there he is, first and goal at the 1 yard line after the lights went out, 3-touchdown lead in New Orleans, 4 downs for a yard with Kaepernick and Gore, and the confetti rains again for him. I mean, it's a hell of a story, Goose. I mean, coming into an organization that didn't have a decal, I'm wearing the John Ogden, Ray Lewis draft Mean Machine hat right now that I have one of 12 in existence. And 23 years later, the fact that he won 2 championships went out, the Atlanta stuff, the MVP stuff.
Well, the Atlanta stuff is the big thing. I mean, that's the year we won the Super Bowl. I mean, it was, you know, for him to get through that adversity and you know, everybody and their mother, he's a murderer, you know, and not really even knowing the facts and knowing what's going on. I mean, that was a crazy time. I remember Kevin Byrne calling me and saying, listen, man, we got a little problem here. And I'm like, what's going on? And then that was a scary time. I'm sure that humbled Ray a little bit and brought him back in. But then he just kept, you know, he didn't let it bother him and knew that, you know, something happened, whatever, and that he had to get through it, and he worked his way right through it.
It's like a movie, literally, right? I mean, you're a movie guy. You were in The Sopranos. I mean, this is a crazy movie of watching this guy's life unfold, and I think that all comes out on Saturday night in all of our roles, in whatever the role was of me hanging out with him at the barn a million years ago, and me and my wife and my kid hugging each other in the upper deck in New Orleans 15 years later, 20 years later, and he was a part of it. Everything that ever happened here is because of him. It's an incredible thing.
Yeah, the, you know what? Just from the Colts leaving to him going to the Hall was a very was a huge time for the city of Baltimore.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
If well, you think about it, from the lowest of low when Irsay went and took the Colts out to waiting to get a team in to, you know, to the Cleveland deal with you know, with the Modells. I mean, it's been really, it'll spin your head.
It really will. All right, he's Tony Saragusa of the Goose. Of course, you can find him out on Twitter. You do a podcast as well. Last thing for you, I know you're still talking some football, and I called you about Ray, but just this Lamar Jackson Flacco thing. I know you're a Flacco guy as well, a fellow Jersey guy, even though he's more Philadelphia. Yeah. This is an interesting time for him in his career, and the challenge and the fire being lit, and from the early going, it feels like he's answering all the bells. Goose, as much as I loved you as a player, and as much as I love Ray Lewis and all my bunkies and my Mike Flynn's, Joe Flacco is my all-time favorite Baltimore athlete. I just for all that he's been through as well, he's been my favorite guy to talk to.
You're a groupie.
I am. I'm a Flacco groupie. No, I'm bullish on Flacco this year. I think they're going to be a good football team this year.
Well, you know, last year, he's got to be healthy. You know, he's got to learn how to get on the field and be healthy. I just, wasn't impressed with last year's performance. And, you know, we talk about Ray and how you got to perform, you know, day in and day out. And if you're not hurt, you can't play. I understand that. But you got to, when you're in there, you got to be good enough to go and get your team to win a game. I mean, this is a crucial season, I think, for the coaching staff. For the players, I mean, you know, normally, for Ozzy, I mean, this is a huge year for Ozzy. But, you know, if Joe doesn't get it done this year, I mean, you know, you could see him on the trading block, I think. You know, he needs to go and rally the troops and get it done.
Goose, anything you're promoting in Baltimore, you come back home once in a while. I mean, anytime I see you here, you're doing something about charity or you're doing some sort of reunion or a golf tournament for charity or whatnot. But I do know you get down here a couple times a year.
Yeah.
You're always a part of our Rooster
Five,
stuff.
5-6 times a year. And people, you know, I love hearing from people on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, I'm trying to stay in touch as much as possible. I'll be down in Ocean City, Maryland, you know, me and you know, Quadre's son are going to be, my son and Quadre's son are going to be playing for Villanova this year. So it was fun seeing Q at a couple of the, you know, the Villanova football meetings. So, and we're going down to Ocean City, Maryland to go and do a little camp down there. So I'm going to stop down there for a couple of weeks. So it's going to be fun towards the end of August.
Well, look, man, I'll give you a hug on Saturday night. I think it's going to be a great, great night for everybody. You know, Coach Billick's going out as well. And most of the guys I've talked to from the 2000 team, it's a reunion for you guys, literally, on Friday and Saturday this weekend. So enjoy yourself. Toss back a few, but not too many. And I hope to see you under what we hope is a beautiful sky in Canton. Nothing worse than a thunderstorm on a Saturday night in August in Canton, Ohio, right?
Perfect.
Be well, Goose. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. You got it, Nestor.
You got it. Tony Siragusa, the Goose. You can find him out on Twitter at Tony Siragusa, as well as his podcast in Yahoo Sports, and on a boat somewhere wearing that big Super Bowl 35 ring on his middle finger, anywhere he feels like wearing it. Nasty at WNST.net finds me. I'm in the buyatoyota.com audio vault 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world on your mobile device by downloading the TuneIn radio app. We do come in crystal clear from anywhere in the world. Our morning newspaper delivers digitally each and every morning to your email inbox at 7 a.m. It's free to sign up. It's all brought to you by Planet Fitness at planetfitness.com, where it's still $10 a month to get in the best shape of your life guaranteed. Also brought to you by Laurel and the Maryland Jockey Club, where this weekend they got the sports book open down there. The ponies are running. It's air conditioned inside. Go on down and spend a Saturday down at the track, or a Sunday at the track if you're not headed out to Canton, Ohio with most of the rest of us this weekend, from what I can tell. Still a few seats left on the bus trip out to Canton, Ohio. If you want to get on, it's the road trips tab at WNST.net. You can just throw me an email. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, streaming live on our Facebook, as well as our YouTube WNSTV channel. And if you want breaking news, make sure you're signed up with our WNST tech service. It's all brought to you by Coons Ford of Security Boulevard. Of course, Dennis Colossus will be here on Thursday, getting you ready for the weekend and getting you ready for the Lamar Jackson show on Thursday night as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570 at WNST Towson, Baltimore, welcoming two new sponsors this week, Sporticulture and our friends at Charles Newsonoff and Sons. We'll be giving them shout-outs as well all football season long. Appreciate the sponsorship. If any businesses out there want to sponsor WNST, toss me a note. We'd love to brag on you and all that you do. We are WNST.net, AM 1570 and WNST Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore sports.